what to expect when you contact the U.S. National Human Trafficking Hotline. Hi, and welcome to a special podcast for drivers and delivery people to commemorate World Day Against Trafficking in Persons, presented in collaboration with Polaris, one of Uber's valued anti-trafficking advocacy partners in the U.S. I'm your host, Brittany Anthony, head of Global Women's Safety Policy at Uber, and I'm joined here with Megan Cutter, acting director of the U.S. National Human Trafficking Hotline, which is operated by Polaris. Hi, Megan. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Brittany. Thanks for having me.
So since 2015, Uber has helped raise awareness around human trafficking education and encourages users to contact the National Human Trafficking Hotline if they witness something they think could be human trafficking. But we also realize that many people may not know what the hotline is or what may happen when they call. That's why we're here today with Megan to learn more about the National Human Trafficking Hotline and what drivers and delivery people may expect if they reach out. So, Megan, first, why don't we start by explaining a little bit about what human trafficking actually is at a high level?
Absolutely. Human trafficking is a crime that occurs when someone uses force, fraud, or coercion to compel another person to either engage in sex in exchange for money or something else of value, or perform labor or services. However, it's important to know that anyone under the age of 18 engaging in sex for money or something of value is automatically considered a victim of sex trafficking under U.S. federal law, regardless whether or not another person forced them to do so. Force, fraud, and coercion can take a lot of different forms. It might be something psychological, financial, or physical, different types of control tactics like that. Traffickers can target specific vulnerabilities in order to give themselves power over their victims. As a result, victims can feel like they are left without options, unable to leave their situations, or else suffer consequences that seem worse than staying in the trafficking situation. It's estimated that about 24.9 million people around the world are trapped in some form of human trafficking. Human trafficking intersects with virtually every industry in various ways, from traffickers who use banks to store their earnings and buses to move their victims around, to the hotel rooms that are integral to the operations of some sex traffickers, and the social media platforms that are vital recruitment tools.
And so, how might this look to someone driving or delivering with Uber?
That's a really great question, Brittany. There are actually more than 25 types of sex and labor trafficking that can occur in the United States. And drivers and delivery people may interact with multiple types in their work or personal lives. One of the most common types of sex trafficking is called escort services. This is where sex trafficking victims and sex buyers meet up in person. In the context of Uber, drivers may interact with victims as they travel between so-called dates at hotels. Drivers may hear riders talk about their pimp or a third-party controller, or notice other signs that the rider is experiencing emotional or physical distress under the age of 18, or being forced or coerced in other ways. Another example of sex trafficking can be high volumes of men getting picked up or dropped off at a massage business that advertises very cheap massage or has a blatantly sexualized name, like Good Girl Spa, or if customers mention they received so-called happy endings. Labor trafficking occurs in a variety of industries, including potentially in restaurants where delivery people pick up food orders. Delivery people could witness restaurant employees that appear to always be working, never have time off, appear heavily monitored, mistreated, or threatened by their employers, or even speak about their documents being confiscated or a debt that they are forced to work off. These are just a few examples, but there is no single indicator that means human trafficking is occurring. So it's really important to learn how and why sex and labor trafficking happens so you can help and be part of the solution.
Wow. Thanks for breaking that down for us. I'm really glad that Uber has been so fortunate enough to work with Polaris and other partners over the years. Okay, so what exactly is the National Human Trafficking Hotline?
The National Human Trafficking Hotline is a 24-hour anti-trafficking hotline serving the United States and U.S. territories. The hotline provides human trafficking victims and survivors with access to critical support and services to get help and stay safe. The hotline has been operated since December 7th, 2007 by Polaris, a nonprofit organization based in Washington, D.C. We are not a government entity, law enforcement agency, or direct service provider, but we do work directly with these partners in order to support individual victims and survivors of trafficking. The hotline is also multimodal, so people can call or text in real time.
So who answers calls and text on the hotline?
Great question. So the hotline is operated by a team of specially trained hotline advocates. They are the ones on the front lines. They've undergone extensive training to employ a trauma-informed approach when responding to calls, to listen closely to each survivor or caller's individual experience without judgment, help them take steps to ensure their safety and the safety of others, explain their options and rights, and to connect them with local resources such as legal services, shelter, transportation, trusted law enforcement contacts, or any other care they seek, no matter where they're located.
Wow. So when should a driver or delivery person consider contacting the hotline?
So a driver or delivery person can consider calling the hotline or texting us to report a tip if they suspect a situation could be human trafficking based on something they've overheard during a trip or delivery or something they've observed. They can also contact the hotline to connect someone to anti-trafficking services or crisis intervention if that person has directly asked them for help. The hotline is available for anyone, including drivers and delivery people, who may need help themselves, particularly if they or someone they know may be experiencing a situation that might be sex or labor trafficking or at high risk for trafficking. Anyone can call at any time to speak with an advocate about options for getting help.
Yeah, I think that's really important for everyone to know. What exactly happens when someone calls the hotline?
When you call the hotline, you'll first hear a brief recorded message. It will ask you to make a selection between English or Spanish. Crisis calls will be directly connected to a hotline advocate. In some instances, when the hotline is experiencing higher than normal call volume, callers will be placed in a queue until the next hotline advocate is available to answer. During this time, callers will hear a message in English and Spanish informing them that they have an option to hang up and call back or contact 911 if they're experiencing an emergency or immediate danger. On each call, the hotline advocate will triage the situation to determine the level of urgency and conduct a safety assessment. They'll go on to speak with you about your needs and will ask questions to help us understand how we can help. What happens next will vary based on the call. At the end of the call, you will receive a case number to reference if you need to call back.
Are callers required to give any personal information when they call the hotline? If they do provide their information, will anyone else know that they've reached out to the hotline?
That's a really important question, Brittany, and I want to be really clear about that since I know that people can sometimes feel nervous when they call a hotline. So callers are not required to provide any personal information and they can remain anonymous for any reason. Even if you do provide your information, all communications with the hotline are confidential, which means we will not confirm to anyone else that you have or have not called the hotline unless you provide us with explicit permission to do so. However, it's important to know that the hotline will inform appropriate authorities if we suspect child abuse, including a child potentially engaged in sex for money or something of value. We will also have to inform appropriate authorities if we have reason to believe that there is imminent harm to you or others, or if we are required by law. To the extent possible, the hotline advocate will always inform you of any actions we plan to take on your behalf and/or if your information is going to be shared with a third party. We also do not record any hotline calls, and we will only use caller ID in rare circumstances where it's believed that you are in imminent danger and this information is necessary to ensure your immediate safety.
So what if a driver or delivery person wasn't in immediate physical danger, but needed help right away? For example, I'm thinking of a scenario where they may have had a rider who was afraid to get out of their car at their destination because they didn't know what was going to happen when they got there. And then they asked the driver for help.
So when there is a crisis situation like that, the hotline will first conduct a safety assessment to determine if the caller is safe to speak with us. The hotline will address any safety concerns first and will work with the caller to create a safety plan while on the phone, which may include actions the hotline should take if the call is suddenly interrupted. Once that immediate safety need is addressed, the hotline will work with the caller to assess their immediate needs, the best next steps, and explore what crisis options are available in the caller's area. Crisis cases are prioritized by the hotline. A crisis response can typically involve coordinating emergency services, which might look like shelter, transportation, medical assistance, and maybe also the intervention of law enforcement, depending on the situation. This service coordination often occurs while the call is still in progress or within minutes of ending the call. In the example you gave, if at all possible, the hotline advocate may ask to speak directly with the potential victim to assess their safety and, most importantly, understand what the victim wishes to happen next. If the potential victim is unsure where they are, the hotline advocate may ask the driver for their help in identifying the location in order to coordinate services or an emergency response. if the potential victim's drop-off destination isn't safe for them, the hotline advocate may ask the driver to drive to a safer, well-lit location, something like a gas station or a hospital, while the crisis coordination takes place. Crisis cases often involve ongoing follow-up calls between the hotline and the caller or victim and local service providers and law enforcement to ensure that crisis needs have been met, and in many cases, to make referrals for longer-term assistance. So it's also good to know that the hotline might not resolve the situation in just one phone call, and there may be some ongoing discussion between the hotline and the caller.
So would the hotline ever come to the location of the caller if they needed help right away?
So as a national hotline operating out of Washington, D.C., the hotline cannot directly respond to a crisis or emergency situation, but we do work with a network of over 3,000 trained service providers and 1,000 specialized law enforcement partners who are available to provide immediate assistance. Depending on the needs of the caller, the hotline might do a couple of different things. One, contact service provider partners to connect the caller to emergency shelter or other emergency services for trafficking survivors. Another option would be to contact law enforcement partners to request immediate intervention and assistance to a caller in crisis. Third, we might provide safety planning and support to help keep the caller safe after the call has ended. And then finally, we would also work to create a plan with the caller to follow up after a crisis to provide additional support.
Yeah, so it sounds like it really does depend on the type of situation being reported. So what if a driver or delivery person suspected they witnessed human trafficking, but really weren't sure?
So confidential tip reporting is a core service offered by the hotline. It's okay if you aren't 100% sure about what you're seeing. We know from experience that it's not always easy to tell if human trafficking is taking place, even if you've taken a training. Our hotline staff are specially trained on conducting human trafficking assessments for all types of trafficking. So if someone is unsure about a situation, the hotline can help callers assess for potential trafficking indicators and determine the best next steps. And while 911 is the best agency to respond to life-threatening emergencies, operators may not be trained on human trafficking or have capacity to respond to non-emergency cases that the hotline can help triage. Wherever possible, we prefer to speak directly with the individuals involved in the situation to discuss the various service referral options and to receive explicit consent to make any report on their behalf if they wish to do so.
What should drivers or delivery people expect to be asked if they're calling to report a tip about someone who they think may be a human trafficking victim or about a suspicious location or business they interact with?
Great question. Every call is going to be a little bit different based on the type of trafficking being reported. But when you call the hotline to report a tip, a hotline advocate is always going to ask you a series of questions to assess the situation for human trafficking, the level of urgency, and to elicit key details about the situation. For example, we may ask questions about how close you are to the details of the situation or how you learned of this information. The hotline advocate may also ask for very specific details about the situation, which can aid law enforcement in opening an investigation if appropriate. We will ask about any potential trafficking indicators, specifics about the location where trafficking may be occurring, or the address if you happen to know it, and descriptive information about the potential victims and or the perpetrators in the situation, including the driver or delivery person's best estimate about their age, gender, nationality, physical appearance, and other identifying information. Other helpful points could also be names or nicknames overheard, relevant license plate numbers, or business names. We know this is a lot of information to remember, but it can be really helpful for law enforcement. And it's also important to know that it's totally up to you how much information you wish to share. And remember, you can remain anonymous. You can also stop or skip a question at any time if you don't feel comfortable answering. We'll understand. We will also ask if you wish to have your contact information shared with law enforcement for follow-up, if appropriate. This isn't a requirement, and we will not share this information without your permission.
What does the hotline do with the information they receive from tips?
So it varies case by case and depends on the information that we receive. Several outcomes could include a follow-up call for additional information or to coordinate next steps. We could also submit a report to law enforcement for potential investigation or submit a report to our service provider partners for follow-up. If after conducting an assessment, we do not believe there are sufficient indicators of human trafficking, the hotline may encourage the caller to call back if any new information comes to light. We will log the case in our database and can add supplemental information from the caller at any time.
Okay, that's helpful to know the immediate steps taken. Will the caller also see immediate actions taken? What can they expect?
So there won't always be immediate actions to take. Sometimes there just isn't enough information to report to law enforcement, or we can't make direct contact with the victims to know if they're ready to leave their situation and receive help. However, as a national hotline, we do have the capacity to use the information we obtain from tens of thousands of cases to identify connections between suspicious locations and potential perpetrators referenced in more than one tip. This means we may be able to later connect tips that seem unrelated initially, but actually are about the same type of situation or have the same perpetrator. And those tips can eventually yield enough information that we can relay to law enforcement for further investigation.
Wow, that's really interesting. How do you decide whether or not to report a situation to law enforcement directly?
All these decisions are made on a case-by-case basis. So consent from a victim and the safety of individuals involved are the most important factors when we decide whether or not to make a report to law enforcement. When we are unable to speak directly with the victim, we'll assess based on a variety of considerations, including but not limited to the urgency of the situation and any safety concerns, the presence of trafficking indicators, evidence of endangered minors, and any high risks or unintended potential consequences to a victim as the result of a report. Our actions also depend on the trafficking response and reporting protocols in a given area.
Got it. So sometimes you may not report the tip to law enforcement.
That's right, Brittany. The safety and choice of the potential victim is always our primary consideration. The hotline supports a victim's right to choose what next steps to take, including whether or not to access services or report information about his or her experience to law enforcement. Hotline advocates will work with the caller or victim to explore all available options and will not take action without the consent of the caller or victim, except in circumstances where child abuse is suspected or if they have any reason to believe the caller or victim is in immediate danger.
Thanks, Megan. It's really reassuring to know that the hotline really prioritizes survivors in these decisions. Is there anything else that drivers and delivery people should know?
I think it's really important to remind drivers and delivery people that Polaris advises that you do not try to intervene directly, engage with any potential victims, or call attention to the situation. Even with the best of intentions, attempting to engage or intervene could put you, the victim, and those nearby in danger or result in further traumatizing the victim. Instead, if you observe a situation, you can keep mental notes of physical descriptions, locations, or addresses, business names, people's names, and behaviors. Then you can pull over when you feel safe to do so and call the National Human Trafficking Hotline to discuss and report the situation.
Great. Finally, okay, how can someone actually contact the hotline?
People can call the hotline toll-free at 1-888-373-7888. And this line is answered live 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So you can always call. Callers can speak with the hotline in English or Spanish or in more than 200 languages using a 24-hour tele-interpreting service. Hearing and speech impaired individuals can contact the hotline by dialing 711, which is the free national access number that connects to telecommunications relay services, or TRS. You can also text the hotline by sending a text to 233-733. Texts are answered 24/7 in English and in Spanish. There's also an option to email the hotline at the address help@humantraffickinghotline.org or report a tip using our online tip reporting form, which is available at humantraffickinghotline.org. But we really prefer calls or texts. If the situation is time sensitive, it involves potential children, or if there are immediate crisis services needed, calling is most preferred in those cases.
Wow, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, Megan. I think we all really learned a lot today.
Thank you so much for having me, and big thanks to all the drivers and delivery people for what you do to help keep our city safe. For more information about human trafficking, listeners can visit polarisproject.org. Thanks again.